Say something just to test it. Say something just to
when
test
were you
it.
Born? Where were you born?
Oh, I was born in China.
Born in China?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Where were you born?
I was born in China.
What year was this?
1902.
When did you come to Canada?
1912.
Where did you settle in? Did you come to Victoria or did you stay in Vancouver?
I first came to Victoria, then to Vancouver.
You landed in Victoria.
Yeah.
You had to go through the immigration. What did you?
Well, the simple reason is there's the immigration in Vancouver and in Victoria as well in those days. But you see, our boat has sickness,
mm-hmm.
and it's been quarantined, coming straight to Vancouver, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to land in Victoria instead coming to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. So you're quarantined for how long?
For 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. How many people were on the boat, do you know?
Oh, about 100.
100?
Yeah.
Were they all Chinese?
All Chinese.
It came from Hong Kong?
All Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm. So
we boarded Hong Kong anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly Cantonese.
And you were quarantined for 2 weeks.
Mm.
And then what did you do? Did you just examine everybody, make sure everything was all right?
Well, until we were ready to leave. See.
Did you have to go through immigrations in Victoria?
Yes, we went through immigration.
What kind of things did they ask you about? You know, what kind of papers did you have to have?
Well, they got a place put up. It's a good place.
Mm-hmm.
For immigration works, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, there was just the $500. Head tax was just starting, you see.
Mm-hmm. 1912.
Yeah, 1912. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to pay $500 head tax.
Did you have the $500 or did?
Well, my uncle. My uncle paid for me in his in Vancouver.
Oh, paid you already.
Yeah.
So when you came in, you brought certain papers with you then,
mm-hmm.
and you were brought in as
legally entering,
mm-hmm.
in those days, my time, yes.
Mm-hmm. What kind of questions did they ask you?
Well, they didn't ask very much. I came as a student,
mm-hmm.
student-like, see.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't ask me very much question, which the application was made out that way.
Mm-hmm. But all they had to do was make sure that you paid the $500.
Yeah, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Well, how hard was it for some of the other people? Did they have to go through a lot of questions and a lot of problems?
Well, a lot of them are old passengers, you see. Some of them went home,
mm-hmm.
and quite a few new ones, but for half of them old ones, you see.
Oh, they come back?
Yeah, coming back to Canada, you see.
Was there any women and children?
No, no woman at all.
No woman, eh?
No. Far as answering question concerned, they haven't got much question to answer. They just ask you a question that you coordinated with your application, that was all.
Mm-hmm. Make sure that everything fitted.
That's all.
Yeah. So then you end up in, you took the boat. The boat then came to Vancouver.
Vancouver, yeah.
What boat was this?
This was Princess Mary. They called the Princess Mary in those days. They had a ferry boat which run between Vancouver and Victoria. See?
Mm-hmm.
Princess Mary.
So, okay. Where did you settle when you came to Vancouver?
Well, when I first came to Vancouver, I lived in West End,
mm-hmm.
with some Chinese laundry people that we know at home.
Mm-hmm.
And my uncle know them, or him here too, see.
Mm-hmm. So were your uncle in business then?
No, he was working in a hotel as a hotel, janitor, as a janitor in the hotel.
Mm-hmm. How much was he making?
What are you making about in those days? About $7 a week.
$7 a week.
Mm-hmm.
$500.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money, I guess.
Yeah. Well, $7 a week.
Boy, he must have saved like heck.
Yeah.
So you remember where about in West End you're staying? Like in now, you know, was it what street?
Well, the street now that he used to work. It's right on foot of Carl Street.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Street, there, way behind where you people broadcasting, way mm-hmm. behind there.
Right.
There's a hotel called Leonard. It's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's been changed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also working on Granville Street and all over, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you settled with these people in that work that owned the laundry shop.
Yeah, yeah.
And were you taking
for a year or so, you see, and then I went to work as a houseboy,
mm-hmm.
see, for some people, for missionary.
For some missionaries?
Yeah, missionary.
Do you remember who they were?
Suckett. S-U-G-G-E-T, Suckett. Mm-hmm. By the name, the English people, English missionary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what were some of your chores and duties? What did you have to do?
Well, I couldn't do very much. I was so small in those days. All I did was to help them to chop the wood and do a little cleaning up in the house, and make a fire for them, take care of the furnace.
Mm-hmm.
And wash the dishes for them after meal every time.
Mm. So you you every morning you would get up early?
Yeah, I get up early and light the fire for them. And take care of the furnace for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed there for a year. Then they moved. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, I had to move too. And I went to North, get another job, same kind of a job, and I get $10 a month.
Mm-hmm. And you became another houseboy?
As a houseboy too.
Uh-huh. And how were you then?
Oh, I was 13, 12 to 13, you know.
12, 13.
Yeah.
And who are these people?
These were English people.
Yeah.
By the name De Wolf.
De Wolf.
Yeah, De Wolf. The English people. And I stayed with them until the war broke out.
Mm-hmm. See? What kind of occupation were these people?
Well, these people, she wasn't very worthy off. And she had about three sons and two daughters, you know. They're all working. Mostly office occupation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed with them, and then the war broke out. 1914 come, and war broke out. They cannot pay me what they promised to pay me, so they told me to go to school.
So and how much were they paying you?
Well, about $10 a month.
$10 a month?
Yeah.
Plus your room and board?
Yeah.
Everything?
$10 a month, no?
So you went to school?
Well, I went to school.
Mm. So, how many at a time? How many other Chinese do you know were going to school?
Oh, for two beside myself, three altogether. School that I went.
Which school was this?
Lord Roberts. Yeah.
Was that down towards
the West End?
Yeah, it's not here anymore.
Oh yeah, still there.
Lord Roberts.
Oh yeah, Lord Roberts still there.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you went through to grade school.
Yeah. I went to the
So like, did you have any problems going to school with how were the people? Were they friendly?
No, I had problem with the people on the street, you know, strangers, you know, but the people I know, I wouldn't have the trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the discrimination is all over, bad in those days. Discrimination is very bad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very bad.
Do you recall some examples of
name,
this kind of thing, or something that you remember that
well, you used to call you a chink, you know, ching chong Chinaman, or those things, you know, all those little slang words, you know.
Did you get into any fights?
No, we don't mind, but if they don't start a fight, we don't fight. If they fight, well, we had to fight. It's just like what the policeman told me once. You know, he says, you had to fight because I couldn't do anything for you. He said, you fight back, you'll be all right. You don't fight back, I can't do anything. So I learned to fight back, which is right.
So how did you fight back?
Well, I do everything I can. I kick and everything if I can, if I have a chance. I usually carry a little rubber hose, a foot long, stuffed with sand, full of sand, you know, and put it inside our pocket, in my pocket, you know. Prepare for everything, all the time.
So you bring it out when you fight.
I had been many glory beating them up when they come to fight. Because they beaten me up many times. I was forced to fight. See, I learned from the policeman.
So usually when you get in a fight, a lot of people gang up and fight you?
No.
One or two?
No. Just stand there and look. Nobody taking the pity on me. I have to do my own fighting.
Well, when you go to school, do you have a lot of problems with some of these kids?
Well, far as the teachers concerned, you know, they're good. You know, it's the public that they're discriminating against us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You see, in those days, now, way back in 1914, there's a school, there's a Chinese boy, that was before my time, just going to school. And this boy, as a house boy, and this lady of the house got murdered, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, he had been accused for that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
See, the body was taken down to the cellar and cut up in pieces and put in the furnace. Now, he was accused for that. From then on, oh boy, it was bad. You know. No Chinese can walk on the street without stone. Real bad.
That's in 1914.
Oh, yeah. Back in 13, like, 13, yeah.
Is this in Vancouver?
1913.
In Vancouver?
Vancouver, right in Vancouver, right in this Robert School. The school I went.
It was in the West End?
Yeah. And many uprising, you know, in those days, against the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the most 100% pro-Japanese was the province paper.
Mm-hmm.
And the most hatred of the Chinese was the province paper, paper too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they used they do anything to put the Chinese in the wrong in those days.
Mm-hmm. So you went through school, you didn't have a lot of problems with the school then?
No, I was doing good. For myself, I was doing good.
Mm-hmm. So what did you do what was your routine like when you go, like, you know, every day in the morning, what would you be doing before you go to school and how would you study and so on?
Well, I study after school. I do my work I'm supposed to do for them, you know, to chopping up woods and picking up coals, you know, those days burning coal wood, you know, and the house cleaning for them, regular housework for them. Just to gain my board and room, you know.
So, was there any other servants besides you in that?
Well, yeah, a lot of them. There are quite a few of them around Vancouver, I know. But the Chinese in those days, the discrimination is so bad. You can't get any other work except houseworks mostly.
Mm-hmm.
See, that was forced that you have to go housework because you go in the house, nobody see you. You see, the lady, they don't mind something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go into the public, look for work, you sure get beat up before you get out, you know.
Mm.
You see, there's no work for you, because that's all, except that the laundry and the garden and everything,
garden.
That are your own, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like your own
you
store.
Cannot get any work, in any kind of work, in a firm of any kind, you know, before you see. It's so bad.
Mm. So, can you describe, like, what Chinatown was like at that time? Do you remember?
Chinatown is very, very shabby and poor like in those days, you know, because nothing was, well, the people, the white people, they don't care for the Chinese people in those days. They don't care what you're doing. Now, most of those stores, it's in the front.
Mm-hmm.
They put up a little front as a fruit store, but in the back is all gambling joints.
Mm-hmm.
9 out of 10, all gambling joints.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the simple reason for that is you can't blame them because they can't get work. They can't get work, they've got to live. You know? And they have to live among themselves by gambling, you know.
Yeah, I guess there's not much activity for them, much social activity.
No activity at all, you know, in those days. You know? You see, the thing was so, now, right after the war, 1914 war,
First World War,
everything was dead, you know. They're not like today, you know. There's no construction for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was just dead, right up to 40, you know. See, thing was bad.
So
no development of anything.
So what was like most of the Chinese live in Chinatown then?
In Chinatown. Now a lot of them, right alongside the Marco Polo,
mm-hmm.
that was they call it Great Northern train station, you see, the American station, you know, and the freight shed there, you know. The freight shed is off the ground about 5 feet, like, you see. And a lot of them poor people, men, you know, living there, underneath the freight shed, you know. And also underneath the George Viaduct.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Viaduct still here when you came?
No.
Cement Viaduct?
Right.
Well, that Viaduct under there, on a shelter, you see, no rain, you see. A lot of people live there, you know, and the city doesn't mind because they know what can you do. Those people got no money, you see. Now I have seen them myself one day. They dragged 3 bodies out of underneath that fish shed one morning because they were starvation or sick or something. So things are so bad, you know.
So I guess people had a really bad time looking for work.
You can't look for work. You don't know how to work because there's no work for you to do. They won't hire you.
Mm-hmm.
See, they won't. The discrimination is so bad they won't hire you on those days. See, it doesn't matter how good you are. See,
so like you were learning English during that time. Did you also do other things? Did you help other Chinese?
Well, I couldn't do anything because I was just work hard enough to keep myself alive.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, I happened to go to school and mix up with people that I could earn my living. That's all I can do. I couldn't do anything else, you know. And when I came, I used to come downtown on Saturday night on a bicycle. I got hurt one day, and I got my arm broken. And they took me to a hospital. Now, I couldn't pay for it, but the Chinese benevolent in those days, they were good. They were good, they take care of everybody they can,
mm-hmm.
you see. Now, in those days, there was no association whatsoever that retaliation for what is not right,
mm-hmm.
you know. Everybody said, oh, leave them alone, don't pay any attention to them, that'll be all right, which is a mistake, you know,
mm-hmm.
you see, because they couldn't do anything, you see. Well then, that's why they're always picking you, because you couldn't do nothing.
Mm, so you got care from the Benevolent Association, they pay for
yeah, well, you see the Benevolent Association to helping a lot of Chinese, because the Chinese knew that they are up against, nobody helped them, that's the only people they can get help from,
mm-hmm.
you know, you see.
So how were you when you got your arm broken? How old were you when you got hurt?
When I got hurt, well, I was about 14 or 15 then, you know.
14, 15, even the people that hire you?
Yeah, I still work there. I still work there.
With your arm?
Yeah.
Wow,
but they were good to me then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The last people that I stayed with, they were very good to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You stayed with them for a long time, eh?
Well, the last people I stayed with, I stayed over 10, 12 years with them, you know. I even go to university, you know, at the time when I start, you know, until I went broke.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to leave them and go and look for something for myself.
So you actually finished high school, eh?
Yeah.
Where did you finish high school? Which school was it?
I went to high school way at King George, they call it King George High School. They call it way up Briar Street.
Right, so uh-huh. Yeah. And then you stayed until, where was university at that time?
Well, in Vancouver, Victoria, both.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends what you were studying.
So you were, did you go to Vancouver?
I went to Victoria.
You went to the Victoria one?
Yeah, yeah.
What did you want to study?
I was an electrician.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thing I want to ask, how did the younger people in that family treat you? No, did they?
They're good.
Did they like you? Did they?
The people that I stayed with, they're good. The two boys.
Mm-hmm.
That's a boy. Now one boy, they're both boy living, now yet.
Mm-hmm.
One boy was 3 years old. The other one was three months old when I first go to these people.
Mm-hmm.
Now those two boys still living. I used to be babysitting for them every night when the people goes out, you know. And now the parents are dead. Now, February 14th is their father's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right now, after the father's death, they took me for a treat as a father,
mm-hmm.
you know, from now on, as soon as his father's dead, you know.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, because I used to take good care of them, you know.
Now, what kind of opinion did they have? On Chinese, did both of them think that, you know?
No, they didn't have a chance to learn anything about Chinese. They live out of town. They were really decent people. They're decent people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
These people that I stayed with, the last people, they're mm-hmm. decent, you know. They're understanding, very understandable. Yeah, they're very understandable.
So, okay, you finish university. I mean, you started university in Victoria.
Mm-hmm. I didn't finish though.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a chance to finish it. I just went for 1 year, that's all.
How much money did you save to go to university?
Oh, I save about pretty close to $500, $600, you know. See?
This is from working with.
I save that bear. We say the last people that I stayed with, I only worked for them at the school, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Now, in the morning, I get up at 4 o'clock. In those days, they had bars in town, you see. I get up at 4 o'clock every morning, work up to 8 o'clock. I clean up two bars before mm-hmm. I go to school every day
mm-hmm.
for 8 or 9 years. And I make good money then. I make about $30 a week, you know, in those days.
So $15 a bar?
Yeah. 3 days a week.
That's 7 days a week?
Yeah. 3 days, yeah.
Yeah, to clean up every day.
Yeah. You see? $15 a week, you see. For each, $30 a week, you see.
So
two of them together, you see.
$3 a week, and they pay, did the people that send you to school, did they pay you too?
They pay me $40 a month, besides my room and board.
Besides your room and board?
Yeah.
So you were making, let's see, about $100 a month.
Mm-hmm. About that, yeah.
Did you have to, did you get to keep all that money?
I keep it all, and no income tax in those days, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did you send any of the money to anywhere, to
No, I didn't just spend, all my spend was on my clothing, of course, see.
Did you give any the money back to your uncle?
Yes, oh yeah, I pay him back.
Did you pay him back, or did you have to pay him more?
I paid him back. Really, I didn't have to pay him back.
Mm-hmm.
But I gave him them all. You know, first five years, I gave him every cent that I made. But after that, I didn't give him any more.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't give him any more. Because I deserve it. See, I deserve it for what he paid for me to come here. Because he owed it to me originally. He through my father. You see, he,
mm-hmm.
my father, two brothers, him and my father, you see. And we had a farm. My grandfather had a farm. and my uncle sold the whole farm in order to come over here.
And this is in China?
Yeah. He came over, now in the first 19th century, he tried three times. First, he went to Frisco, he couldn't land.
Mm-hmm.
Then second, he failed. Then third time, he landed in Vancouver, you see.
Mm-hmm. So he used your family's money.
That's it. And I deserve it for him to pay me that $500 to come here.
So actually, he owed you the money?
Yeah, oh yes.
Mm-hmm. So, did your uncle want you to go to school?
He didn't want me to go to school at all. No. Him and I, that's why I left him altogether. I left him. I haven't been seeing him for at least 10 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I learned my English. He just hated me to go to school, you know, because he said I was lazy, you know. He wanted me to work. And he went to a Chinese interpreter,
mm-hmm.
told him to sue the man that I was staying with, you see.
Mm-hmm. And arrest you?
Yeah, to get me into the sense, because he kept me there for not going to work, you see. So this interpreter told him, he said, well, what are you trying to do? He said, well, he kept my nephew there and make him lazy. He didn't go to work at all. And so this interpreter knew some people that I stayed with, used to Chinese people in the laundry there, you see. He asked them to get information, you see. He said, oh, it's all right. He just wanted to go to school, and his uncle don't want him to go to school at all. Nothing wrong with it, you see. So this Chinese interpreter told my uncle, he said, you better be careful. He said, I'm telling you what I know. He said, if you come to a court for a trial, you got to come to a trial. You see, you're going to have him arrested. And if he tells the judge that you don't want him to go to school, you're going to get in jail. He put you in jail.
Mm.
From then on, he never bothered me anymore.
Mm. Do you remember what the name of the interpreter?
The interpreter was, Wong.
Mm-hmm.
Wong Sun.
Wong
Sun. Wong Tu Sun. Wong Tu Sun. He used to be where the Ming War hardware store is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
See, he's not living now.
Mm-hmm.
He's not living anymore.
So, how old were you when you left your uncle then?
Well, I packed and left him when I was 14.
When you were 14, you just moved away.
Yes.
He didn't take care of you? Did he come to see you and?
No, he didn't bother. After the interpreter told him what happened, if he tried to interfere with me, he what was going to happen to him? And he didn't interfere with me anymore. No.
You mean,
no.
Only a couple of years in Canada, and then he didn't bother you.
No.
So you were on your own.
Yeah, everything on my own.
Well, what happens to your family? Do you write back to your family?
My family is very unfortunate. You know, my father died when I was 3 years old,
mm-hmm.
and my mother died when I was 4 years old. I was a very, very unfortunate person, you know.
Mm.
And I was brought up in a hard way,
yeah.
You know. It's different when a person brought up in an easy way and a hard way, the entirely different person, you know.
You brought up with a family, it makes
a
difference.
Yeah.
See. Did you have any brothers and sisters?
I got one sister. She's dead now.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Where was she when you came?
She was in Shanghai.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Older sister?
Yeah.
Well, she could take care of herself then, I guess.
Well, she's married then. She married when I was young, you know. And
So you were lucky. You didn't have to send money back to support anybody.
No. I got nobody to take care of. And all I gotta do is just take care of myself.
Mm-hmm. So, did you know it was gonna cost you a lot of money to go to university?
I sure do. And I went to. And so I went to the. I went to the. in those days, I know some friend in the Persia, Canadian Persia,
mm-hmm.
and he told me restaurant business was good.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a son. He told me, you go with my son, and maybe you can into business and make a little money, then you can come back and study your school.
Mm-hmm. That's after you got broke, eh?
Yeah. So I did. That's a good idea. So I went.
Well,
I went up there in 1927. I went to the prayer in 1927. 27, 28, 29. And 1929, you don't know anything about it. 1929 was the World Depression.
That was the start.
Yeah.
How old were you then?
World Depression.
How old were you then?
Well, I was pretty close to 30 then, you know.
Mm.
You see? It's World Depression. Real 1930 was a World Depression, real bad. Oh, the Chinese in Chinatown here, some of those that had nothing to eat, and the benevolent give them two bowls of clear rice soup a day. That's all they get, you know.
Yeah. Everybody line up.
They line up
every day.
Two bowls of soup. You see, now in those days. The cow stomach and power and pig stomachs, you know, nobody wants them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this Chinese merchant, he went and get them, clean them up, and he cook them up. He sell them cheap, you know. 10 cents, you get a pound, a whole bunch, you know. But many of them poor folks, they get 10 cents, enough of them for 2 meals. They put half for one soup and the other half for next day, next meal, you know. That's how they live. And everything was so poor.
So, a lot of
I was in the prairie then, in the restaurant business.
Well, do you know that a lot of Chinese go to look for jobs then? Do they go around to each town looking for jobs?
Yes, they can't get any job. No job to be looked, you know, so poor. Even the white people, they couldn't get a job in those days. You see, they couldn't. You see, the time was so poor those days, you know, really poor after the first war.
Yes.
What after 40?
No crops, eh?
No crop back where I was, and no development here at all, you know. Nothing built.
So what happened?
Those days, you see, in 1925, now in 1925, there's a big uprising against the Chinese, blaming the Chinese, you see.
What happened?
Well, the people in Canada, the big arrival came up, you see. Well, then they want the government to get rid of the Chinese. So the government said, no, we can't do that because they have paid us $500 head tax. See? You know, they pay us for that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they came here illegally. But at the same time, we made it legal for $500 head tax.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we can't get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we will do is, we stop them right now from coming in.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there's so many coming in every year, you know, even paying $500. They sell the property, sell the wife, sell the children at home to get enough money to come to Canada. Because the Canadian dollar is worth 10 Chinese dollars in those days.
Mm-hmm.
So good, you see, that's why they want to wanted to come, you see. Well, then they shut the door. Immigration door, no Chinese can enter Canada anymore,
mm-hmm.
you see. But at the same time, they make 42 new laws against the Chinese.
Mm.
These 42 new laws, if any Chinese come up against those 42 new laws, it was facing deportation, no trial. No. See, that's why it's so tough. You see.
So I guess it made it worse.
You make it worse, you see.
So 1920, when the depression came,
25.
I guess it worse.
Yeah, 1925 stopped. There's a shut the door, shut the immigration door. You see.
Yeah, I think about 23.
The
rule came in.
Yeah.
1923.
Yeah.
And so, well, you had a restaurant then. Was the restaurant doing all right?
Oh, I had two restaurants back to pray. It wasn't doing very good since after the depression. You see, right after the depression, it was a drought.
Mm-hmm.
for 5, 6, or 7 years back there, you know. I don't know if you've been up the prairie or not, but back in the prairie, there's nothing but wheat crop. Right. If you got no wheat crop, you got nothing. Everybody just have to wait for hungry, that's all. So, there's no wheat. The restaurant's no good for anything else, you see. If there's no wheat, nobody got business.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's on relief. The farmer's on relief. But I don't. I can't. Because I got no property in there, you see.
Mm-hmm.
See? The only property I got a farm. But I'm not living in the farm. I can't get relief.
Oh, yeah?
You see? If I live in the farm, I could get relief, you know. But I'm not, see. I lost the farm. I lost two restaurants. See?
You just walk away from it.
Yeah. I lost it, see. Because fire burned up. Big fire came. In 1935.
Mm-hmm.
Fire came, burned the whole thing. Then I rebuilt, and in 1940, war come. Nobody there again. So I get out and join the army.
Where was the towns that you were in?
It was Vanguard, Saskatchewan.
Mm-hmm.
Vanguard, V-A-N-G-U-A-R-D, Vanguard.
So you were there for a long time then?
I was there over 10 years, 15 mm-hmm. years, you know.
And you were there, and it burned out, and you started over again.
And mind you, at the same time, while I was there, now back in the prairie, were the Chinese, the all friend, not like here, you know. In here, the prejudice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But back there, you're no longer a Chinese, you're all friends, right, you're one family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got a place back there that I got a room upstairs, half dozen rooms. Well, all the people that knows me around there, when they're out of work in the wintertime, they all came to me.
Mm-hmm.
I had to feed 6 people almost 4, 5 years, or every 4. They come back to me. In the summertime, they go to work.
Mm-hmm.
They work for 2 or 3 months. Then they come right back to me again.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with me, you see. I had to feed them in those poor years. They can't get a job. But what work I got there, they helped me. They do all the work for me without me asking them. They're very, very sensible, you know, people, you know. They get up in the morning, when meal time comes, they help me, you know, to serve the people and work for me and get their meal in the room there.
These are all men, eh?
Yeah, men, you know, all men.
Mm-hmm.
See? They were so poor, we were so poor, we couldn't even get 2 bits to get a haircut. I had to give them 2 bits twice a month to get a haircut besides feeding them.
Mm.
Even back in the prairie, they're so bad, you know. In here, that's why it's so bad here, so many of them.
Did you have any problems with any drunks or any people in the restaurant when you were working in the restaurant?
Yes, oh yeah. In a small town, it's not like a big town.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there's no policeman nearby, and they take advantage that you've got no policeman around, and they show off. They're smart, you know, and show off. And best thing is just ignore them. You ignore them, then they're all right. If you try to criticize them, you know, you get into trouble. Mm-hmm. Because they knew you don't get. They knew there's no policeman around, they take revenge on you. That's what's up in this country, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You see.
So what do they do to show off?
They go out there and fight in your place, upset your table, break things.
Did you remember anybody in particular that you had a lot of problems with?
Yes, I remember one man. I got so fed up that I had to fight one day. Because I when he was drunk, I told him what I think of him. He didn't like it. And after that, every time he got drunk, he looked for me. He wants to fight. Oh, he wants to fight back.
Come to your restaurant.
Oh, yes. Now I get so fed up. And I said, I can't ditch him all the time. So he was twice as big as me. I couldn't fight him at all. So I had to fight him with something else, with a broom handle, you know. And I got a broom handle, hit him over the forehead, you know. I knock him right out.
Mm-hmm. You bought him outside?
I knocked him out, yeah, inside my store.
Inside your store?
Yeah. They took him to the hospital, put 7 stitches on his head. And from then on, he come apologize, shake hands with me when he drunk.
Every time you get drunk?
Yeah.
Come back.
And also his wife came to thank me for taking that out of him. He get home, he nice. He don't take anything out of his wife anymore. Mm. You know, a man, sometimes you have to fight. You see, there you are, see. He just take advantage on you because you don't fight. But when you turn against him, you fix him.
Mm-hmm. So the wife really, you know, really now, liked you a lot.
The same thing here, this laundry I used to talk about. They come around every night, they pitch a stone to this house every night. Well, we set the ambush for them one night. Oh, we just, each, but 6 of us got sticks, you know, we just beat the liver out of every one of them, you know. After that, no more. They never threw rocks anymore, boy.
How old were you then?
Oh, I was around 25 then.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you had six young guys?
Yes.
Don't wait for them.
Because I got a night class in there. Mm-hmm. In those days, I used teaching the old boy come from China, they can't speak a word of English, you know. You see, a lot of the old fellows, I had to teach them English, how to speak the simple English, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you had your own class when you were going to school?
See, that's why, you see.
Mm. So one day you just...
So we had to do it. But my pupil and I, we went out there and just beat them up.
So does this happen often, like breaking?
Oh, very often. Practically every week, every Saturday night.
Every Saturday night? Oh,
yes.
Broken.
Every Saturday night.
Do you remember, how about special days, you know?
Saturday?
Or special holidays.
Well, holiday is not so bad. You probably go when away, I suppose. But on Saturday night, you know, it's bad.
How about Halloween?
Yeah, Halloween is real bad. Oh, you can't sleep at all. You hear rock banging at your house every second until you beat them up. And after that, it's okay.
But yeah. Halloween, did they break a lot of windows? Window go around?
Well, you have to put double screens on your windows.
Mm.
Otherwise, you won't have no window left.
Mm. So, and when the war broke out, the Second World War broke out, you just left the restaurant then?
I left the restaurant. I left everything to my partner. I gave it, practically gave it to him, you know, but no money there at all. Yeah. Nobody there anymore. Everybody gone to the big city.
So what did you do? Did you volunteer?
I was volunteer, yeah.
What year was that?
That was 1940.
1940.
Yeah. You see, I joined the army not because I'm a Canadian patriotic. I joined the army indirectly, patriotic, to the Chinese, that's all. Because the Chinese were so darn badly looked down in this world, you know, I just fought indirectly because I knew Canada and China was an ally, you see. That was why I joined. Otherwise, I wouldn't join.
No, because the Japanese were fighting against the Chinese.
Yeah, that was why, see. I was volunteer for indirect.
Mm-hmm. So did they accept you right away?
What's that?
Did they accept you? Where did you join?
Well, yeah, I joined Saskatchewan. They take you right away. They take you if you're fit.
Mm-hmm.
If you're physically fit. Oh, I had no trouble at all.
How old were you then?
I was 30 then.
30 then?
Mm. 25, 32 then, you know.
Where was the recruitment place?
Recruiting? Regina.
Regina. So you went down to Regina to join.
Yeah.
And what did you do when you joined? Did they give you basic training?
When I joined, they sent me right up to Okanagan Valley for my Vernon, BC, for my basic basic training. You see.
What did you want to be trained in?
Well, when I first joined, they told me that I could be make a good. Intelligent Corps man, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So I applied the Intelligent Corps when I first joined up, but they didn't take me right away, they sent me to this basic training base,
mm-hmm.
and of course everybody have to go through that
mm-hmm.
before you can do any special work, you see. Didn't matter what kind of expert work you're doing, you have to go through the basic training. You got to learn what you call a basic training, how to use your gun,
mm-hmm.
how to fight, how to shoot.
That's
what you call a basic training, you see.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know that before you can do anything else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they sent me to there, and I stayed there for 2 months. Then they sent me to Kingston, you know, try to make a signal.
The signal corps?
Morse code man, you see, for Morse code
mm-hmm.
man, you see.
Telecommunication.
Yeah, they try to make me take 20 words a minute. I said, my ear just went ring, you know, I couldn't do it. So then they sent me to the artillery.
Mm-hmm.
See?
So what happened? Like, didn't you just get basic training? Normally, the after you get basic training, they send you to fight.
Well, no. You see, after you get your basic training,
mm-hmm.
then you get your professional trade, whatever trade you want to go. See,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you take your whatever you're good on,
mm-hmm.
you take that course, and then they train you for that course, and you go into that course, do regular work, see, like an ordinary civilian, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In the army, it's just like the civilian life. Whatever the civilian life got, they got it there too, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, you know. If you're good for engineer, well, you go in there as an engineer, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, like, you had your outfit. When your outfit was called to war, to go to fight, did you go with them?
Well, they didn't send me.
Why?
I was not a citizen then, you know,
mm-hmm.
see? They can't send me overseas, you know.
You can't fight, you know, but you can join the army.